Alexa, play my audiobook.
Getting the selection from Ralph's Audible library. Resuming the adventures of Tom Stranger, interdimensional insurance agent.
This is Audible.
And I'm recording video.
Cool. Hey, buddy.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Great.
You look like you're in a bunker.
I feel like I'm in a bunker.
I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And this is the Quarantine Book Club. And if you can't tell by the excitement in her voice, we read Tom Stranger, Interdimensional Insurance Agent this week.
By Larry Correa, narrated by Adam Baldwin.
So it's a big turd, narrated by another big turd, written by a big turd. And our job is just to press the little dinger and flush it down the toilet.
I don't know what the people at Audible were thinking when they decided they were going to let this be an Audible original.
They might have been eating some shroom brownies.
I wish I was on some shroom brownies right now, man, because this is not... it's not good. It's not even bad. It's abysmal. It's garbage. It's like somebody farted in a microphone for 5 hours and I paid for it.
Did you even pay for it? I got it when it was free.
I don't remember, but I feel like I paid for it because I listened to it. That's paying for it.
If you did out there, if you did pay for Larry Correa's Tom Stranger Interdimensional Insurance Agent, get a refund because it's bad.
I'm sorry. Actually, you can. You can get a refund from Audible now. That's what I want everybody to do. I want you to get this book. If you haven't, stop. Go get it from Audible. Listen to it. And then return it, because you can return Audible books now for 90 days, I think it is.
Or don't return it and just let us tell you how bad it is.
No, yeah, that's true. But what I'm saying is I want Larry Correa to get the money and then have you yank it out of his stupid, stupid libertarian hands.
Well, you know what? Larry Correa knows everything about the publishing industry, so I'm sure he'd have something to say to you about that. We're going to talk a little bit about that today.
Cool. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear some awesome, awesome facts about everybody's favorite author, Larry Correa.
Well, let's jump into it. And right after our introduction.
You know, we already introduced ourselves.
Yeah, I know. I was just like,
oh, I see what you're saying. That's cool. Don't worry about it. We've got about as much organization as the writing of this book. If
who's Tom Stranger, Bob? Who's Tom Stranger?
Bro,
tell me a little bit about Tom Stranger.
He could also be better known as Mary Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Or for someone that's traveling so many dimensions, a one-dimensional fart on the face of quote literature unquote.
Do you think, okay, a few questions for you from the outright before we get into this. So how would you categorize, like legitimately for real, categorize this if you were to not in anger or hatred?
Okay.
Right.
It is.
What would you say it was? It's meant to be, but what it actually comes across as?
It's meant to be satire. And what it comes across as is a big crybaby whining about stuff and trying to make fun of things and prove how cool and relevant he is, but and how aware and hip he is. But instead, he just fails. It fails so miserably. It fails so hard.
If the internet were a PDF, and that PDF had sentient thoughts, and it saw itself in 2012 and tried to laugh at it. That's what this book would be to me. It is every stupid bad internet joke from a libertarian conservative perspective shoved into poorly designed words, shoved into garbage writing, shoved into lazy design, and self-reflective, self-referential bullcrap just layered over on itself. It's like if you took Hunter S. Thompson and made him not smart, not funny, not clever, not witty, not daring, not cool, not interesting,
not fun, not a human being with self-awareness or the ability to understand what other people like or some sort of modicum of self-control. And
if you don't know, we are going to just hate on this book the entire time. Mm-hmm. Let's
start off with some not quite reading the book stuff. I want to tell a little story. It's not a big deal.
Tell me a story. Tell me a big old story.
It's about me. It's a story about me. I've been listening to Audible books for, I think, 7 years now. It's been a long time. And I love the format of listening to an audiobook. I like it. It's a time saver. I don't listen to music in the car anymore. I get in my car. I have almost an hour drive to work. On bad traffic days, it's worse. And I either listen to podcasts or I listen to audiobooks. And Audible, they've gone through whatever their problems are, where they basically just kept taking money from people because their credits, like, people for a while, Audible was, hey, once you get up to like 3 credits, you're not allowed to have any more in your bank. And if you don't use them, you lose them. And right. there was a class action suit about it, millions of dollars. And so they went, hey, now you can just have all your credits and it doesn't matter how long, as long as you keep pumping money into it. And it's not exactly the cheapest thing. I mean, Audible
it's
is
like
not,
$17 a month, right?
Yeah. And that's, for some people, that's a big thing. But at the same time, audiobooks have always been more expensive than just the book itself because there's the production value involved in it. So I've listened to my library in Audible is extensive.
You've listened to hundreds of books. Hundreds of books.
And it's my daily routine of listening to about 2 hours of a book. And it's how I read. When we started this podcast and we started picking up physical books, I did that because part of the idea was I wanted to have physical books in my hand. I missed the action of sitting down and reading. And once we got into COVID quarantine, I figured I'd have the time to do that. So over the past couple of weeks, we've been realizing that reading those books is a lot of work. For those of us who hadn't cleared the time in our schedule to read books, that's hard. So we had a conversation about the fact that you and I wanted to go maybe back to listening to audiobooks.
Sure.
And we also maybe wanted to make our episodes a little more short, like the fiction that we're talking about be a little bit shorter so that we could do it in one episode or two as opposed to over the course of a month.
Correct.
And like all that aside, we said, hey, Audible is a great way to do this. Let's pick this. We're not sponsored by them. If that changes in the future, hey, cool, great. We're not sponsored by anybody.
We won't be because I'm about to say, Audible, you really screwed up by making Tom Stranger, Interdimensional Insurance Agent, an Audible original. Take it back or I'm going to cry.
So the actual like story that I wanted to tell, which is really dumb, is a quirk of mine. It's a weird quirk that I have developed since the first time I listened to an Audible book, which is there is a person at the beginning and the end of every book that I just call the Audible Man.
This is Audible.
Yeah. And at the end of every book,
this has been an Audible production.
Yeah. And
it really creeps me out to me. I can't listen to the end. I hear the final music because you know, if anybody in here is like familiar listening to audiobooks, you start with the all your audiobooks are parenthetical, right? You start with the opening parentheses, which is the "this is Audible," and then the person who introduces it, and then you hear like the swell of music as the first chapter begins. And then you know you're about to hit the very last few lines of a book because you hear the swell of music.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, like, actually my hair is standing on end thinking about it.
Right.
Because there's been many like cliffhanger endings in a book where I know that something big is about to happen because I hear the swell of music in the background and I know that it's about to come to an end.
Right.
So but that just like that voice that I hear at the end that says, "This has been an Audible production," and then it goes silent, is just like to me the ending a broadcast day of the 1970s and 80s of television. So I can't hear it. I have to turn it off immediately. It scares me.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
I hate it. Hate it.
I love it. See, I
hate it.
I love that
because that is the dystopia. The dystopian world has closed in on me, and some robot is hoping I have enjoyed something. I can't handle it,
bro. I am the exact opposite. That's my whole story. Is that I finish an Audible book, and I have to listen to the Audible man tell me that he hopes I have enjoyed the program. And almost every time, as some weird,
do you say thank you?
I say yes, I did, or not.
Sorry,
really.
I'm scratching
my back.
I actually
reply to him like it's a review. Nobody can hear me.
Really? That's psychosis.
But he'll like Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program. I did. Thank you, Audible man. And today, because I finished it today, and the Audible man came on and he said, "Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program." And my only response was, "Fuck you."
Good. You deserve to say that. Because Audible man should not have stained himself with this hot garbage.
I also want to know who the Audible man is. I need to actually find that. I need to do that research before next episode.
To find out who Audible man is.
Audible man is.
Yeah, I like Audible man's voice, though. Like, I like the beginning voice. I like hearing him when he starts. But at the end, no. Dystopia is falling around my...
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.
Hate it so much. I hate it so much. So we have a little bit of history with Larry Correa, the author of this book. To give anybody out there some sense of who this person is, Larry Correa is a New York Times bestselling author, unfortunately, that you introduced me to. Thanks for that. You introduced me to the Monster Hunter International series, which is about a private security firm, basically, that defends the world from all manners of horrendous old gods and dark beasts and terrible, terrible fears and bumps in the night. For the most part, all political leanings of Larry Correa, the author aside, I've really enjoyed like the first four or five books of that series. It's gone massively downhill.
Yeah, there's side books now where the main character is almost insufferable. Oh, he mentions the dude who wrote that in a chapter in this book.
Oh, John Rink, who?
Yeah. He's one of the dudes, or maybe it's the dude that he wrote the Masters 6, We're Awesome Killers series with.
Who
I don't
even
know.
Knows?
But he like, that dude gets killed at the convention.
Oh, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. Because I told you today, I've only gotten
about
to
finish.
No, that's actually part of it. I'm about 65% of the way through this 2-hour book because I needed to stop. I was getting so viscerally angry at everything that I was hearing that I needed to take a break. I'm also listening to Frank Herbert's Dune as well, and as like a palate cleanser. When Dune is your palate cleanser, you know that something is not right.
I know that we're talking about Larry Correa right now, but this is a challenge. Dune was the thing that you and I talked about doing. How are you enjoying it so far?
Greatly. Really? I'm enjoying it quite a bit. Cool. It's a really well produced audiobook as well.
Maybe we should circle back around and actually do a quarantine book club. Here's a book that is good, and we'll do Dune because I'm getting ready to kick into that series as well.
Yeah, and it's I mean, it's nice to jump into something that actually has a you can feel the roots of Star Wars in it. And I because I've never read Frank Herbert's Dune at all, you can the roots of Star Wars are right there in this.
Paul Mordib.
Stop with that killing word, God. Stop it. So Larry Correia has written that he writes the Monster Hunter International books, and then he also writes the Hard-Boiled Magic.
Oh yeah. Every time you ask me that, I've read the whole series and I never remember what it is.
And then
it's like steampunk, but not like it's like iron punk. You know, it's during. Is it after World War
One? 1930s. Yeah.
And also good series of books narrated by Bronson Pinchot.
Who I love.
Mm-hmm.
Bronson Pinchot is great.
He's a great narrator.
And if you don't know who Bronson Pinchot is, he plays the principal in Sabrina the Teenage, the new Sabrina, The Adventures of Sabrina or whatever it is, Netflix show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he plays the principal in that.
Yeah.
He was also, I did not know this, he was on an episode of Chopped. He was on Celebrity Chopped. He was terrible.
Really? Really?
Terrible. He got so wiped out.
I'm going to have to look that up.
I didn't realize that Bronson Pinchot was such a large personality. Like, I didn't realize that he was such a celebrity.
Okay.
But apparently he's done all this stuff, and I didn't know.
He got pigeonholed because of Perfect Strangers.
Yes, yes.
And he played a guy from a Cousin Balky, a character who was a guy from a made-up country. Kind of like Borat. He was a very Borat type character, except just not you know, dirty like Borat
He was Latka from was it Latka from Taxi?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, total aside, quarantine, if it's made me do anything, it's made me go back and watch a lot of Taxi.
Mm-hmm.
Taxi's a really good show.
Is it? I thought you were about to say Taxi's a real racist show.
That's one of the things that it's not.
Yeah.
But Taxi's a really good show. But I actually have a reference to Taxi today in all of my bitching and complaining about this. So I
just want to tell you, in talking with you, talking about this stuff, having some conversations, you've actually pulled me up out of a depressive hole, because the more I started thinking about this book that we were talking about, and then I listened to the whole thing, it's so bad. And I was so angry, and I'm going to get angry again.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
There's no hope for it.
It's sad when you know that there is an author who has legitimate capabilities, writer. I'm going to say, and I'm going to do my thing where I'm trying to be, I hate being devil's advocate, because honestly, being a devil's advocate is garbage. Like, if you're a devil's advocate, you're an asshole. But I'm going to be for the sake of what we're doing. I think Larry Correia, especially at times where he's on his game and we're not seeing the libertarian conservative bullshit side of who he is as an asshole, as a racist, as a bigot, as a misogynist, as a womanizing, objectifying asshole, and that's who you are, Larry Correia.
There's so much objectifying in this book.
That his writing, when none of those things are taking place, is really enjoyable to read. Mm-hmm. I love the first few Monster Hunter International books, and I'm legitimately angry that I have not liked the last few, because they've really, like, it's almost like when he's hit his late 40s into his early 50s, he's just peeled away the outside of his talent and just left the inner rotting bullshit of his soul to bear, even in his writing. And yeah, I'm going to say bad words on this episode, by the way.
I can't not say the bad words on this episode. I'm not even going to bother editing anymore. You know what? I'm going to put a not safe for work thing. If you want to listen to it and you want to hear us curse at work, great. Fuck shit, doo-doo, whatever. I know doo-doo is the last one that I saved, because that's all I kept thinking about. When I was listening to this book, I just kept thinking about how this is really bad doo-doo, because that's the type of humor in this book.
Yeah.
It's like,
yes.
they don't even have the balls to say fuck. Oh, yeah, it's like, oh, no. This is doo-doo. It's like the crap that a 15-year-old would write when they're like who's
trying to be an edgelord on the internet.
Yeah. No. Oh man.
I'm cool. I'm surfing 4chan.
Guess what? Also, if you're a fan of Larry Correia, guess what? He hates his fans.
If you're a fan of Larry Correia, check your bullshit. Like, it's okay. It is okay to like the work by an author. but begin identifying where that author is a problematic human being. H.P. Lovecraft, exactly, right? Like
J.K.
Like,
Rowling.
J.K. Rowling, like begin checking these people.
I think some of this, and some of this conversation right now, this is actually really important. This book itself is a really important way to tackle some of those feelings for what's going on with J.K. Rowling right now and kind of dip your foot in the water in a manner that, like, if I never read another thing by Larry Correa ever again, I'm going to be a little disappointed, but I'm okay. Like, if I have to stop the Monster Hunter series where it is and know that that's the last that I ever read because Larry Correa is a shit human, then that's it. And so maybe I can go, okay, well, I don't need to hand any more money to J.K. Rowling either, and I can be okay with that. Like, I'm figuring that out right now.
It's a hard place to be, actually, is as a consumer and as a reader. You want to continue enjoying that stuff that you've enjoyed for a very long time. But we, just like these authors that we enjoy reading, just like the authors change, so do we. And so we find that after a while, we actually begin, I think, diverging from that same path.
Tom Strange is a doo-doo book. It's a doo-doo book by a doo-doo person.
It's a doo-doo book by a jerk face.
Okay, so let's. I'm going to give you a little bit of a quick overview of what the book Tom Stranger is.
Please do. Read it. You work on the book. You work on the book overview, and then I'm going to follow up with the overview of Larry Correa and Alec Baldwin, or awesome. Adam Baldwin.
Adam Baldwin. Cool.
Adam Baldwin.
In case you were wondering, there's a multiverse, like in so many other pieces of fiction out there. And well, anytime somebody makes a decision, a new dimension is formed by the one decision that they could have made or the decision that they actually made. So it splits and they call it a Hawking paradox event or something like that. But Tom Stranger's business is to provide people with insurance in case one of these Hawking events crosses over and something from a different dimension comes into theirs and causes trouble. So the book starts out with Tom Stranger showing up and basically saving an alternate Earth where Arlie Ermey is the Secretary of Defense.
I'm so glad that I didn't have to point that out because I thought that was like, oh, come on.
Yeah,
I was like,
no, it's not good. It's not funny.
He's never mentioned by the name Arlie Ermey, by the way.
The only person he mentions by name is like Adam Baldwin.
President Baldwin.
Adam Baldwin. And then
the Arbiter, which who we'll get into soon.
Oh man, but the former president of this world was John Wayne at one point.
Yes, John Wayne.
So I guess John Wayne is like the alternate of Ronald Reagan. Maybe that's where this split. I don't know. But somewhere in this world, they're sort of obsessed with Westerns. But it starts out with the president's cabinet, and they're all just idiot doo-doo heads.
These deep-seated stereotypes, like societal stereotypes, but they're so deep-seated in what we expect a stereotype to be that I don't know whether it's like ha-ha funny stereotype or this is the way people actually are. Like, this is
can't tell if he's being serious, that he really thinks this about people.
Or if it's like trying to be clever satire. And you never know. And I am a big fan of legitimate literary satire. You know, you look at the history of literature and satire has always been a tool by which people affect political change. And, you know, some of the greatest satire of literary history, you look at Jonathan Swift, right? Like Jonathan Swift is one of the biggest satirists that we can know. He writes in the 1700s, he writes A Modest Proposal. And if you've never read it, it's worth reading. It is all about eating children or using children's flesh as clothes. And people, when it came out, were absolutely the narrator, who is Dr. Jonathan Swift, he is saying, look, there's an overabundance of children. how about we put them back into the system and make shoes out of them and cook them into fantastic recipes? The Americans know great recipes to cook children, and they'll start giving back, especially the poor children in Ireland will start giving back to their English brethren by being food and by being clothes. And when it was originally released, people were like, what the fuck? And of course it was Jonathan Swift talking about how the English were massively objectifying and using the Irish for everything. They were like draining the Irish of all of their through taxes and all that, just absolutely draining them and destroying them. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it was about. And it was such powerful satire that people didn't even realize that it was a call to political action. And once they did, that's what it was. And the same with Gulliver's Travels, right? Gulliver's Travels is a famous piece of satire.
Yeah.
It's clever, powerful, nuanced, intentional satire. This is none of that. Not at all. It is hot garbage. It's not even satire that confuses itself with parody. It is just bad.
Yeah, it's... What did you say about it being funny earlier?
That it's the opposite of funny.
Yeah. It's not. It's listen
painful.
To it.
It's painful.
Yeah, you listen
it's
to
agonizing.
It. You just get mad. You get mad at yourself for wasting your time listening to it. You get mad at Larry Correa for writing it. You get mad at the world for being in a situation where people can write something like this and that other people actually think that it might be saying something, because all it's saying is, I don't like you. I don't like the things that you like, and they make you a wimpy doo-doo face. And I'm just going to keep saying doo-doo face because it's the only way that I can describe it.
By 3 minutes, I am actually looking up some of the notes that I took. By 3 minutes and 11 seconds, one character has already unironically called another character a hippie. By 10 minutes in, we've already received knowledge that France is not nearly as good a country as any other country.
Yeah.
We've already gotten derogatory statements toward how France sucks. By a half an hour in, we've already heard about how the Canadian healthcare system is garbage.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
By an hour into the book, and it's only 2 hours, we've heard four separate jokes about how gender studies isn't a real thing.
Fuck you, man. Fuck
these
you,
are,
Larry Crayon.
These are the stats
Fuck
that I wrote
off.
Down, right?
God! Fuck!
He sucks. So bad. And
I got
none
so
of these,
mad when I, every time you would just go, oh,
gender studies is
that a real thing? Would somebody do that to themselves?
And these are only some of the stats I wrote down. Right?
I thought I could get girls by doing a gender studies degree. They'd think I was cute or something.
So Tom Stranger, right? So he appears. He is in the office of President Baldwin, who is Adam Baldwin, who is also the narrator.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so I'm going to compare this with something. Will Wheaton, that everybody in the nerd world loves, and, you know, I, to be honest with you, like, I love a lot of the stuff that Will Wheaton does. He's not one of my favorite narrators or anything like that.
I love what he does as a person and a contributor in like, quote-unquote geek society.
Yeah,
and he's
absolutely.
Also a super good dude, right? Like he speaks a lot openly about mental illness. He's super supportive of the rights of underrepresented people. Like he's an awesome guy. But right, I'm not the biggest fan of a Will Wheaton narrated audiobook.
Yeah, I mean he narrated that Ernest Cline book,
Ready Player One,
which was a good book, but again it was really great for what he was doing. He also narrated this book,
Are we gonna have to fight
Red
at some
Shirts.
Point? We're gonna have to fight at some point. I like how
no,
you
it's
just
fine.
Said. I like
no,
how you
you're
just
right. No,
said.
No, sorry.
Ready Player One's a good book.
No, wait.
Because
no.
that book.
Let me rephrase
sucks.
What I said. Let me rephrase what I said about that. Because you're right. Ready Player One is not a good book. Ready Player One is like watching an episode of Big Bang Theory, which
well,
he's also on. Will Wheaton is also on. But
that's what this is. It's the Big Bang Theory. I was thinking this book, Tom Stranger, is the Big Bang Theory of bad conservative liberal humor.
It's just all these references to stuff. And that's what Ready Player One is, really.
Yeah.
It's just a book full of references. And I want to say what I mean by Ready Player One is a good book. I meant Ready Player
fun,
One.
Maybe?
When I listened to it, it was fun. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
I was entertained by that book.
Good. I was bored.
That's cool. You're also
I hated that book.
I can't hear you.
I hated that book. Sorry.
But anyway, Will Wheaton also narrated this book, Red Shirts.
Right.
So it was very much one of these moments where he's narrating a book about dudes in the quote, like the a satirical Star Wars or Star Trek universe.
Yes.
Where these guys discover that they're the red shirts on a ship and that there's this conspiracy that causes them all to die. It's a fun book. Look into it. It's not great. But fun. And if you want to listen to a narrator do something that's fun, who's a person that you should listen to that book. Because, again, Will Wheaton's a good dude. I miss Tabletop Will Wheaton. Are you ever coming back and doing it again? Please. I love to sit in my bedroom at night and watch YouTube of people that I want to be my friends playing games.
Dear Will Wheaton. Haven't heard from you in a long time because we've all been in quarantine, Will. And what I hope is that you are healthy, you are safe, that depression and bipolar isn't just destroying you. Knowing that you've had a history of mental illness in the past, I want you to reach out to me personally and tell me that you're A-okay, that you're all right. Check in with me, please. This is also a reminder to all of our friends out there to please check in with the people that you love. Also, this is a call to Larry Correa that I want to fucking fight you.
Do you want to write a different letter for that one?
Yeah, I actually. So here's.
Well, let's wait until the end of the episode and you can write a letter to Larry Correa.
Good, because I am putting it out there. I know that our podcast only gets like 4 listens, right? Yeah. Larry Correa, I am challenging you to a fight.
Is that only because you know he'll never hear it?
No, because I think Larry Correa would actually agree to a fight, and I will challenge you to a fight. So I just want to put it out there right now. I don't care. I want to tweet him a link to this. I want to fight you. I want to find a place that we can get together. I will spend money to fly out to Nebraska, where the hell you live. We can get it. We can rent a boxing ring, put on gloves. I want to fight you. I'm not talking about like a fight to the death. I'm not talking about an illegal fight. I'm not talking about a pit fight. I'm not talking about a fight with shanks. I'm talking about a legitimate fight between two grown men. I'm challenging Larry Correa to a fight because it's the only thing I can do to possibly make this world any better now that he's shit on it with this garbage book.
I can't believe that.
And that sounds like a joke, but I don't. And there's a very good chance that I could get my face broken. Cool with it. I want to fight a crappy author.
Wait, does it have to be Larry Correa?
Yeah, it does. This is where I'm going to start.
You're not saying that you'd fight any crappy author. You're saying that you want to fight Larry Correa.
I would, but now that I'm thinking about it, this is my
key
to fame. Is this
like your bum fights, which is a terrible thing?
It would be. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm looking at you right now and realizing, like, as it coalesces in my mind, this is my call. This is how I'm going to get famous. This is what I'm going to do in the future. I am going to challenge authors who piss me off to fights. And I'm going to lose a lot of them. There's a good chance I'm going to lose like 75% of them, right?
Are we talking about an MMA fight or a boxing match?
I would leave that up to the author to determine. Okay. I am ready to train for a boxing match. I'm ready to train for an MMA fight. But I say all this unironically, bad author, shithead authors, I want to fight them. Okay. And we have a legitimate, like, we have a ref, we have somebody who will call the fight when it gets too bad, right? I would go through a training regimen to fight an author.
I don't even have any words after that, bro.
I want to fight him. I want to fight him because in this book, in Tom Stranger Interdimensional Butthole, he makes so, whether or not he is intending to do so, he makes so many completely inappropriate, not funny jokes about society itself. One joke he makes, he does the thing. He leans on this garbage humor that he deserves to get punched in the face for, where I don't even remember the direct reference. A character references calls someone else a Terminator. And Tom Stranger says
racist.
That's racist. And Tom Stranger's intern is like, how is that racist? And he's like, because cybernetic beings also have feelings. And I'm like, dude, seriously? Like, you're legitimately comparing racism, like systematic racism, institutionalized racism bigotry to don't call a robot a Terminator because that's like come on. I want to fight you, man.
Robots, man. Don't be mean to those robots.
I want to fight this guy. I want to punch his teeth in. That might be a threat. I don't care at this point.
I don't. Look, I'm going to be, you know, the only thing Larry Correa is going to say back to you, bro.
You're some kind of snowflake.
How many New York selling times? How many books do you have?
What are you? What do you think you're a real writer? How many New York Times bestselling books do you have? Huh? I'm Larry Correa. Okay. I like guns.
Dude, Larry Correa loves some guns, man.
Yeah, by the way, Larry.
Liking guns is not a personality trait. All right. We dealt with it with our dad for 84 years. Dad, miss you up in heaven. Want you to know, liking guns was never a personality trait.
Never. Never. And you know what? I like guns, they're fine, whatever.
That's like me saying, guess what? I have a beard. That's what's important about me. I have a beard.
Because
there's other dudes out there right now that are being like, hey, I have a beard. I have a beard, and that's my whole life.
Guns are fine.
That's the most important thing about me.
I don't make a pillow my personality. I certainly don't make, like, a candle my personality. I don't make my car my personality. But Larry Correa certainly tries to make his guns his personality. God, I want to fight you, Larry Correa. Gosh!
Like I'm getting red. He has to tell us how his name is pronounced. And then, because it's the same as Korea, the Larry Korea of a different dimension renames North and South Korea to, do you remember what they're called?
Yes, I do remember exactly what they're called. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Can I repeat them, or
please,
would you like to say?
No, please do it.
He calls North Korea Commie Jerkface Land, and South Korea is Gangnam Style.
Like, whoa, man. What are you doing? That's what I want to know. What are you doing?
Cool jokes. I just make little jokes.
There's a joke.
One of my
about...
jokes is Commie Jerkface Land and Gangnam Style, because it's the only thing in South Korea that I know is Gangnam Style by Psy.
That's one of the disservices that Larry Correa does to himself in writing this quote story, is that he shows how little he knows about things.
Yes.
When he tries to make those types of jokes. You haven't gotten there, but there's a point later in the story. You've listened to this before, right? Or no, you
yes,
couldn't get through.
I listened to the first half an hour of it about three, actually, right when it was released as an Audible original, because A, I have to defend myself for a second. One, I had my finger up. One, I didn't know Larry Correa was a dirtbag back then. Two, I had only read like the first three Monster Hunter books, so I thought that anything that Larry Correa was going to write was going to be awesome. Three, I needed to use an Audible credit, and it was an Audible. It was free.
Yeah. This book was the moment that I had heard these little underpinnings in the internet world that Larry Correa was a crappy person, and then I listened to this and I was blown away by how bad it was and how terrible the person who wrote it must be.
Yes.
There's a moment. Now this is again just espousing a political idea and trying to be satirical. Later on, there's a sequence with Joe Biden in it. Now Joe Biden. Whatever your politics are right now, look, we're all tired. I will say this here. And again, this is like you saying you're going to fight someone. I don't want another fucking rapist in our White House.
Right.
And the fact that we've got to choose between the rapist that's in our White House right now that is destroying our country and letting millions of people die every day. Not every day, but you know what I mean? Like millions. Yeah, I say right. Millions of people, but Our president right now is the most dangerous thing that has happened to our country, including wars.
Yes.
And then we've got another guy that we're trying to put in that the Democrats want us to put in there, because I'm independent. So I say the Democrats. who's not really any better. He's an old, out of touch white dude who has been accused of sexual assault. Like, I'm tired of this choice.
Yeah.
It's not a choice. And people who get mad because other people don't vote, let me tell you, sometimes this is the reason why, because they're disgusted by what the rest of the world has offered us. As a person who doesn't know a lot about politics, who doesn't want to spend a lot of their time learning about politics because they're busy doing other things that are important to the rest of the world with their life, I trust the people in our political system to have a handle on it and pick the people they know more. They know more about politics. It's a thing I'm not good at. So I would expect the people that are good at it to make good choices so they can hand them to me so I can look, do my research a little bit and go, oh, hey, yeah, no, I like what this person's saying better than this person. Not two pieces of garbage that I literally can't look at either one. Right now, I have to pick one that's not the gross rapist that's in our White House right now, because I just don't want any more people to die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, but so, sorry, that was off out there.
Do it.
This is during the Obama administration, before a lot of this came out. Like, this book is right in the middle of the Obama presidency. And they end up running into Joe Biden, who says he looks like a drunk clown and is drunk and dumb. And there's on his desk when the desk gets knocked over during a fight or whatever. And there's the Karl Marx bobblehead falls off of his desk. Like, man, look out for those dirty commies.
Right. Oh, it's the only kind of humor I can make, is I'm just going to continue finding ways to call the Democrats commies.
So at the book itself, you got this interdimensional insurance agent. We got so far off that we're literally 40 minutes into the podcast and haven't even really talked about what the book is.
Well, because we don't have to, because it's not good. There's no plot that's worth talking about.
Disgustingly
it's
bad.
Actually bad.
It's an insurance agent and his mistaken intern, and the intern's a big wussy dumb person. And
he's got a gender studies degree, and he has a point, if I can remember, a 0.017 survivability rating on the Bear Grylls survivability index.
I think it's 0.75.
0.75.
It's 0.7 something. Yeah. So it's less than a one person.
A one, a Bear Grylls, a one is you can take anything pain-wise or trauma-wise that would kill one Bear Grylls.
Yeah, it's the amount of trauma that would kill one Bear Grylls. And at the beginning of the book, he's like, oh, this is a four on the Bear Grylls scale, because apparently getting sucked out of a into space in a sudden decompression would kill four Bear Grylls's.
And of course, Tom Stranger, our illustrious protagonist, who has no personality whatsoever other than his stupid green tie.
He likes customer service is important to him.
Customer service
is the most important thing to Tom Stranger.
Which right there is yet again, even if Larry Correa doesn't realize it,
customer's always right.
More bullshit libertarian.
I'm not gonna wear my mask.
Like lazy.
I'm your customer. You do what I tell you. Customer's always right. What? Whatever.
That's more this laissez-faire, free market bullshit, where it's like, well, I'm an insurance agent. Of course, I've got to sell you insurance because you need it, and I'm paying for a service. You're paying for a service that's very important to you. So just to give you an idea, you know what? Fuck Tom Stranger and interdimensional bullshit. I want to talk about what a piece of garbage Larry Correa is.
Please do. I can't wait to hear. Because so I know this some is, of it. We're going to go into Gamergate and all of that other cool Larry Correa garbage.
So, to give anybody out there a breakdown on who Larry Correa is, not only is he an author, but he is a historically butthurt baby. He developed when the Hugo Awards several years ago, he started heading up the what was called the Sad Puppies, where a bunch of libertarian, super conservative right wing authors were coming together and generally trying to say that the Hugo Awards were like virtue signaling. And so therefore, let's try to break it down and get some of these right wing conservative authors represented, or, you know, whatever. Who cares?
People are dumb. Doo-doo heads.
This was a post. I'm going to read this post to it. This was a post that Larry Correa put on his MonsterHunterNation.com blog on June 20th, 2020. So this was from 2 weeks ago. And the name
this
of it.
Is 2 weeks ago?
This is 2 weeks
ago.
Oh,
man.
The name of it will give you everything you need to know about Larry Correa. And I'm going to read a little bit for you.
Okay.
Ready for this maturity. Fisking BuzzFeed because they don't understand how writers get paid. Apparently there was an article about BuzzFeed talking about writers, but wait, you'll find out why he's so mad about it soon.
Okay, cool, likes BuzzFeed to begin with. We all know that they're garbage.
I'm sure you can take a guess though why Larry Correa is mad about BuzzFeed. What do you think BuzzFeed? Let's play a game.
Okay.
What do you think BuzzFeed wrote about authors that makes him come to the conclusion that they don't know how they get paid? That people don't know how they get paid. What do you think made Larry Correa so angry about authors and paychecks?
Is it because they said that authors make millions of dollars per book?
That is almost too fair to offer Larry Correa.
They get rich off of one book?
Maybe a little bit, but there's another factor that you're not taking into consideration here.
Okay.
There's something about the authors. There's something about the authors that affects.
I'm a dumb person.
How much they get paid?
Oh, is it what political party they're in?
Well, you're getting even closer. You're getting warmer. What else could it potentially affect how much a writer gets paid?
Oh, is it the color of their skin? Wow. What a concept.
Wow. And of course, Larry Curry is mad about that.
Oh, he's so upset because I'm a white boy and maybe I never made as much money. I don't have any privilege. I'm just so Larry Curry.
When I read this nonsense yesterday, I knew I was going to have to fisk it. As a full-time working author who actually makes a good living off my writing, I hate destructive crap like this. Of course, the article is trash. It comes from BuzzFeed. They get everything wrong. But worse, some of the quotes in there from certain writers are agenda-driven garbage, which give aspiring writers a completely ass-backwards view of how publishing works. I want to see writers be successful. I'm rooting for you guys. This crap right here, it is defeatist garbage. If you buy into this pity party, you're going to artificially limit your career. Making it as a writer is already really challenging as it is. You don't need to make up additional fake bullshit to get upset over. Do you want to be angry or do you want to make money? And then he links the article, which is called book authors are getting real about how much they get paid. And it says the hashtag publishing paid me has reignited a conversation about the disparities between how much black authors and non-black authors make. And you can guess what this particular hashtag has revealed from authors who are black and not black, which is that black authors,
white authors make way more money than black authors.
It might be that, right? Because our country is a heinous racist piece of garbage.
This is a fake news, man. I'm a libertarian. I'm going to tell you right now, you make your own money. You work hard and you do whatever it is that you have to do to get ahead. And if you're not getting paid as much as me, well, maybe you're not working as hard as me. Maybe it has nothing to do with the color of your skin.
So then he says, this article is mostly authors I've never heard of complaining that they aren't getting paid enough. And apparently the inevitable conclusion is that must be because of racism. As usual, the original article will be in italics and my responses will be in bold. His first response. Of course, the party that hashtag fucking loves science is able to draw conclusions about industry-wide payouts based entirely upon a series of tweets from a handful of authors out of thousands. Thank goodness those tweets just so happen to fit their preconceived notions. Here he is immediately, without even realizing he's doing it, gaslighting this bullshit from the beginning, right? He's sitting here, he's like, well, of course these people are getting upset about things that don't even exist, right? Like preconceived notions and also racism. It's not about racism. Larry Correa, fuck you, man. Like, seriously, fuck you. And so he just goes on, worked like pages upon pages upon pages of this. And then continuing on, He goes, it's just, oh, God damn it. You know, if you were honest, you probably should have explained all of this before blaming everything on racism. You know, fuck you, Larry. So that's who Larry Correa is. If you want more amazing bullshit like this from his libertarian conservative fucking pie hole, go to monsterhunternation.com and look at the diarrhea he sprays everywhere because he sucks. He's one of these assholes that sounds like he's an Alex Jones loving fart hole, right?
Oh, no.
He's
the kind of prison planet.
Who knows?
Oh, Alex Jones.
He's the kind of asshole who's going to buy like a protein powder and shove it up his ass just because Alex Jones told him to do so, right? And if you're into buying protein powder and putting it up your ass, that's fine. Just don't be Larry Correa. So that's this guy, right? So Larry Correa writes this book, this thing that we call a book. And then we get Adam Baldwin to narrate it.
Man, I am so into hearing about Adam Baldwin because all I heard was in the book were references to Firefly.
Yes.
I've never watched Firefly. Okay. I watched Serenity. Everybody got, wow, Serenity. Whatever. First of all, look, bro, I know you watched Serenity. I know you and your wife were big fans of Serenity. I got news for you. Guess what? Serenity's canceled. And I don't mean Serenity's canceled because
Joss Whedon sucks.
No, because Joss Whedon's a piece of garbage. And I know we're talking literally about the fact that, like, where do we decide who we're canceling and who we're not canceling because of their terrible, horrible statements? Joss Whedon just sucks. And to be honest with you, Firefly is really overrated. If you're a Firefly nerd, guess what? I tried watching it, also wasn't interested, just like Buffy. For some reason, Joss Whedon doesn't do it for me, bro. He never has.
So
except for Avengers, okay? Maybe I like the first Avengers.
But then the second one.
Yeah. No. It's almost like it was a fluke.
So Adam Baldwin was in Avengers. I'm sorry. Fuck. Adam Baldwin was in Firefly.
Yeah.
He played the mercenary Jane in Firefly and whatever. He's forgettable, right? His big role was from, this is connecting right back to the other person that you mentioned earlier. He was Animal Mother in Full Metal Jacket. That's where he got his start.
Right. Okay. No, I didn't
know. He's the guy who stands out there with the machine gun and he's shooting into the rice paddies.
Oh man. Okay.
And he's like, yeah, kill that guy. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was also in, if you remember the Mass Effect series, he was Cal Reager in Mass Effect.
Oh, really?
Remember Tally's, like,
yeah, no, dude.
His friend, yeah.
Man, that sucks.
He was Cal.
Love Mass Effect.
Me too. Well, this was, and his narration in animation and in games is what led him to start. Adam Baldwin is the originator of Gamergate.
Okay.
So he was the one. So Gamergate, for those of you who are uninitiated, and I'm gonna do my best to like narrow it down. Mm-hmm. He called out and was basically like, gaming journalism is just virtue signaling. Basically doxed a bunch of POC and female game authors and basically brought up saying that, like, you know, we need to be held accountable to authenticity and truth in gaming journalism, and generally said that, like, gaming journalists were bullshit and women gaming journalists were bullshit. And of course, what happened? All of these assholes came out of the woodwork and were like, yeah, Adam Baldwin's absolutely right. Because gaming is also just misogyny and racism wrapped up underneath digital covers, right? So he starts Gamergate, which is this huge conspiracy against gaming journalism. And there are women and writers who legitimately received death threats over the shit that he spread about it. So that's Adam Baldwin. So Adam Baldwin, he writes, he also, in his increasing age, he writes for a website called, or he wrote for a website called Big Hollywood. Do you know what Big Hollywood became?
No.
The entertainment section of Breitbart. So here's Adam Baldwin. I'm going to read you another article really quick, a part of it. Here's Adam Baldwin writing from the 13th of May, 2010, about a thing that he clearly knows everything about. It's called Desecrating Old Glory, Educators Failing Our American Flag. Anyway, he continues talking about how that it's terrible that people can't wear patriotic clothing. And he goes into says all too many educators, not to be confused with teachers. Suck my ass, Adam Baldwin. All too many educators, not to be confused with teachers, have abandoned professionalism and the business of actually educating students. Instead, they kowtow to groupthink and the viewpoint discrimination veiled in Orwellian linguistic deceits such as tolerance, diversity, multiculturalism, global citizenship, a.k.a. America equals racist, sexist, bigot, oppressor, etc. Like that right there. If there's nothing else that makes you want to fucking just also get into a fight with Adam Baldwin, it's that right there. Like this constant my freedom of speech is invaded by other people's also desire to not be treated like human garbage. Like, again, I'm gonna put it out there again, I'll fight you, Adam Baldwin.
Dude, I hate these dudes. I hate this. I hate what this has made us become. I was sitting here thinking, I'm listening to all of this, I'm disgusted by these people. I'm disgusted by the book that we quote listen to. I'm angry. I'm not having fun. This was a project that was supposed to be fun. Let's read it's some not. Fun books. Let's do some fun stuff. You know what we turned into? We're turning into H3H3. We're like Ethan Klein, just calling out a-holes.
Only not as nearly
except
as well.
I don't get to hang out with Post Malone.
I'd hang out with Post Malone.
I know, that's what I'm saying. This is, I'm so mad right now.
Secret. Can I tell you a secret?
You want to hang out with Post Malone?
I want to hang out with Post Malone so bad. Dude, Bob, I think Post Malone is a really cool guy, and I've watched a lot of stuff about Post Malone. Dude, and you know what? I don't care about music. I just want to hang out with the guy. Like, he seems like he's super cool.
Same, man. I can't.
Please, can we not cancel? I don't know much about Post Malone's sex life, but can we? I hope he doesn't get canceled.
Here's the thing, man. Like, it's a real problem. Like in a lot of music right now, because it's very. I don't know. He's always trying to be like, "Yo, you're nice. I love you." I guess I don't know. Like, I don't follow modern music because I'm an old fart, and I can't.
I want to hang out with Post Malone.
I don't want to hang out with this Adam Baldwin and Larry Correa or anyone.
No,
that
I'd hang out
with
Post
them.
Malone instantly. You know why? Because Post Malone seems like he could do badass stuff and also be respectful. Post Malone would drink a he'd chug a beer with you, and then. I don't want to say this because I'm afraid that, like, what if I'm wrong? But I want to say it. I think Post Malone would chug a beer and respect a woman. Like, he's going to do both these things, right? Post Malone is going to spit on a cop car and respect a woman. Post Malone is going to take a pee next to a private property fence, smoke a blunt, and then respect a woman. Larry Correa is just not going to do any of that. He's going to suck. He's going to complain on his website. He's going to smell like cigars and farts. He's going to get into a fight with me. And he's not even going to respect a woman.
You remember when we were first figuring out who the hell Larry Correa was, and he was on that show with, which is the
Joe Montana?
Is it Joe Montana? For some reason, I keep getting him confused with Chaz Palminteri.
He was on Gun Stories or whatever it was.
Hey, Larry Correa's on Gun Stories. And then a couple of weeks later, I'm like, oh, holy crap. Larry Correa's a real big piece of garbage.
Let me give you my best Larry Correa impression. Are you ready? From Gun Stories.
Please do it.
So if anybody out there doesn't know what Gun Stories is, I think it was on the fishing and Outdoors
Ask
channel.
Ask our dad. He'll tell you about it.
It was all about literally like, here's a gun and here's its history. Oddly informative if it weren't just absolutely crushed underneath its conservative bent, right? So Joe Montana, I think it's, I'm pronouncing that right. Joe Montana is the,
he's also probably a piece of trash.
The narrator.
Too.
And he comes out and he's like standing in a museum with a bunch of guns.
But
and he's
also,
like,
doesn't he always wear like his gun? And at the end of the show, he like turns around and just starts
shooting. He's like, I'm Joe Montana, and this is the M1 Garand. Now, this gun liberated America during World War II. Wait, I got my history wrong. This gun helped in the liberation of all of those other countries during World War II, when America was definitely the heroes and not the Russians.
So, we're so the coolest. We're the hero in every story. America, man.
America actively shot Hitler right in his face and balls 7 times. And so Larry Correa is on it. They bring him in as like an expert He's a historian.
He's an expert.
And here he is. He comes and he sits in and he goes.
How about the guns that I like are the big ones and the ones that shoot automatically. And also, I'm a blogger. Thanks.
That's my Larry Correa impression. I want to fight this guy. It's garbage.
I've heard you so many times. I want to fight this guy.
Because I can't even express my newfound hatred for who Larry Correa is with my voice in an eloquent way. So I want to use my body to express it. I want to pound this guy in the face.
Eloquent way. You're so eloquent that you can't even say the word eloquent, right?
Yeah, I can't. Eloquent. Come at me, Larry.
Just don't at me.
So next,
don't at me.
I feel like now that you know who Larry Correa and Adam Baldwin are, I really think we need to have another episode about this one anyway.
We
need to legitimately find parts of this that we have to tear down and talk about how much bullshit they are.
I think for next episode, here's what we're going to do. You finish this book. Fight your way through this book.
I'm gonna
waste an Audible credit.
Just like I'm gonna fight Larry Correa.
I'm gonna waste an Audible credit, and I'm gonna get the next one.
I'll do it too. I have so many Audible credits because Audible is just
I already have it. I think it's called A Murder of Manatees, because manatees are important in this weird interdimensional world, and we'll talk.
In the world where Chuck Norris is the arbiter of interdimensional disputes,
man, I don't.
Literally Chuck Norris. And it's not even funny.
There's nothing funny about these books. I don't know why I literally just sat here and I said, I'm going to read the next one. You know what? I don't even want to do another episode on this.
I just want to quit.
I don't want to do this show anymore.
Nope, we got to do it. I have, Bob, before we leave today, I need to return to you the experience of playing a game you've played with me. Name that review score.
Okay, bro. I don't know why. I feel like I'm suffering from some real. There's another one of your cats just blooping behind you. I'm suffering from some real weird mood swings right now, where I'm okay with it for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden I start thinking about it.
That's called hatred of garbage. Let me just read this to you. I'm going to help you out, buddy.
I hate garbage. Also, I'm leaving a review on this next week.
Cool. I can't wait. Are you ready? I'm going to give you some reviews. These are from Goodreads. So the reason I went with Goodreads is because Goodreads still does a 5-star rating, right? But Goodreads is also fairly informed readers, but also not informed readers. But here you go. This is from Owned Yes. Wait. I'm sorry. That's not their name. Their name is underscore.
Just underscore, like the word underscore, or there's an actual just an underscore.
An underscore.
Okay, cool.
I laughed. I snorted. I giggled. I may have even chortled once. This is the funniest thing I've heard in a long, long time. Look, it has Adam Baldwin making noises like a manatee, for God's sake. Best 2 hours of entertainment I've had in a long while. It's also free, so go get it. Edit was the time of this review, not now. As for content, well, it is as anti-PC as you can get. It is balls-to-the-wall action from start to finish. It's Larry Correa. It even has Larry Correa in it. Just go get it. Stop reading this and go get the dang thing. How many stars?
4 stars.
Bitch, that's a 5.
This is the best book I've ever listened to. This has got Larry Correa in it. It's got Chuck Norris in it. It's got Adam Baldwin in it. If you like any of those guys, you're going to love this book. You're going to love it so much that you're going to fuck a manatee in the ass.
Yourself.
You know what? If that's too politically correct for you, I'm going balls to the wall.
Here you go. This one is from Michael Hicks. I'm going to give you this whole one, so you're going to have to be patient with this one. I got to give you this whole one. Michael Hicks. While listening to The Adventures of Tom Stranger, Interdimensional Insurance Agent, one word kept popping into my mind. Ridiculous. Although this audiobook is billed as comedy, ridiculous is not necessarily a compliment. Comedy, you see, is largely subjective. I'll take George Carlin over Adam Sandler any day of the week, and unfortunately, this Audible original was a lot like mainlining a Sandler production. It's ridiculous, but not in a good way. Tom Stranger is an insurance agent for the multiverse. He's been mistakenly paired with the yuckster of an intern who reminded me of Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, and who has a pathetic GPA in his gender studies degree track. This, by the way, is an example of one of the running gags of The Adventures of Tom Stranger. Stranger voyages across multiple Earths in search of his proper intern, squaring off against his rival, the insurance agent Jeff Conundrum. Along the way, there's a few dashes of Chuck Norris hero worship, purple people eaters who harvest men's scrotums, and a meta guest.
Because the scrotums is a great joke.
Right? Appearance by the author Larry Correa, who finds himself in need of rescuing by the ubiquitous bow-tie-loving insurance agent. So on and so forth, he continues going. Narrating Tom Stranger is not President Adam Baldwin from the short-lived TV series Firefly. Although the story itself didn't do much for me, Baldwin's narration is pretty good, and he's clearly having a fun time handing it up with the material. He delivers a pretty broad range of character voices here, from the overly aggressive Secretary of Defense to the level-headed stranger who with dashes of milk toast in between. He also does a damn effective manatee. On the production quality end of things, the sound is crisp and clean, and on par with the other handful of Audible originals. In this regard, it's excellent, as I expected. Final verdict, 1.5 stars.
He gives it one star.
He gives it two.
He gives it two stars. What are you people even doing? You can't, you know how to count? You know how to enter the same number? I hate the first guy. I hate underscore because he thinks that it's hilarious. I hate this guy even more because he doesn't know how to count. I'm done with this, man.
But I also like the fact that at the end he says, final verdict, 1.5 stars.
God, look, you finish, then edit it. Edit it. Go back and edit it. Your review.
Or say two or one. What's the 0.5 come from? It's not
this.
Hard.
It's so
it's
dumb.
Not,
it's
not
hard to pick a number and just
right,
say that
between
number.
1 and 5, an arbitrary number that you're not being held accountable for, right? Nobody is going, can you please explain to me why that's a 1 and not a 2? Like, nobody is doing that. Nobody's going, the only thing we're doing is reading these dumb reviews online, right? Here we go. Here's another one. I'm going to give you one more. Actually, I'm going to give you two more. This was funny, but a little too silly for me overall. I liked the general concept of the piece. The narration was very well done. I just found everything to be way over the top by the end of the story.
3 stars.
3 stars. Good job. Good job.
I'm going to leave. Here's what these reviews are all like to me. Guess what? I like when a lady sits down and takes a shit on my chest. I give it 4 stars, because that's what humor is to me, is somebody pooping on me. Guess
Sheila.
What? All I gotta say is we really love that Adam Baldwin does manatee impersonations. It's been mentioned more than once. It happens like twice in the book. It's not interesting. It's just a dude going, it's not funny. Why do people keep mentioning it?
If you need some comfort, Bob, I encourage you to check out the Goodreads page, because while there are just as many people who are the 4 and 5 stars are always talking about anti-liberal and anti-Obama jabs. But then there's people who make sense, who like this one, my favorite review on here. Magnus Bernhardsen rated it 1 star and said it was free and short. Those were the good things. somebody else says, somebody else says, the worst thing I've ever listened to on Audible. It was part of the free selection. The humor turned out to be flat. It feels like something 10-year-old boys would find funny, except those boys are well into their 40s. Like, you know, so there's a lot of legitimate, like, actually the very first review was a single star, and it's very long, and he does honestly way better describing how bad and stupid it is than we did in writing.
Don't tell people to go read that, because then they won't listen to our next episode.
Oh, they're gonna. I think if there's one thing that I did get from the Goodreads reviews, it's that while there's a lot of people who are trying to review bomb it they're trying to like opposite review bomb it and give it fives because they love Larry Correa and how much he talks about bullshit PC culture, there's just as many people who are like, this is garbage. Like, why would you listen to this? It's really not good. It's not well written. It's not nuanced. It's garbage. Adam Baldwin is garbage. Larry Correa is garbage. And mm-hmm. you know what? Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
It's
not good.
It's like you went to the zoo and decided that you wanted to watch monkeys. And then instead of like just monkeys playing around eating bananas, it's monkeys jerking off.
And, so many
monkeys.
You got
to cover
that.
Your kids' eyes because you don't want them to see that. And your grandmother's there and you're like, holy shit, grandma, there's monkeys jerking off in front of us. And like, it's not.
You just broke down. Like, you ended with monkeys jerking off in front of us. And then, like, I watched as your brain shut down sector by sector.
I don't want to do this anymore, man.
You do. You do. You want to do it. You know why? You want to do it. Do you want to know why?
Because you're going to fight Larry Correa.
Because I'm going to fight Larry Correa. So the next time we get together, I want to point out. So I actually did find a PDF copy of this book as well.
Okay. Well, next, here's the thing, man. I'm saying this to people. I'm saying this right now. This is not a joke. This is me telling you, because we got to do something. I want you to use your Audible credit and get this book and get the next one. And I want you to listen to them, and then I want you to return them. And I want you to listen to those books for free because you're allowed to do that with Audible. So go ahead. And you know what? And if they ask you, write a review that says, this is poop. It's garbage. Yep. It sucks. It's the worst thing about America. And I hope Larry Correa gets shit on by Gangnam Style.
So here we go. So this is also a step. I'm actually going to give people an encouragement this week. I'm going to give people an encouragement this week. So you know that I've been reading Frank Herbert's Dune.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to put my money where my mouth is and also read things that are not written by white dude authors, right? Yeah. In science fiction and fantasy. So I wanted to give people an encouragement if there's something else you're looking to get with an Audible credit or a book. So I started reading a New York Times bestseller by Tommy Adeyemi. It's T-O-M-I, and last name is Adeyemi. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. A-D-E-Y-E-M-I. And she wrote a book and a series called Children of Blood and Bone. Mm-hmm. And it's a young adult series, and it is phenomenally enjoyable so far. So I am 100 pages into it at the moment, and it is a creatively unique world that introduces a number of characters who... The cat, right?
Yeah.
Just getting there. A number of characters who I immediately find relatable, flawed, exciting, and it's really neat to be able to read fantasy by a person of color and to know that this is what we have out there to read as opposed to somebody like Larry Correa.
Cool.
So I'm going to encourage people to start like I'm going to take every time we do one of these from this point forward and begin promoting an author that was better to maybe spend an Audible credit on as you
that's
return
what
you, another
that's
one.
What I'm saying. Yeah. We'll put all of that information in our descriptions of the podcast and the YouTube video. And maybe we'll start a new page on the website, which is www.thequarantinebookclub.com. We'll start a page that's like recommended authors. Did Candy just yell at you?
Hey, what's up? What's up? Talk.
I guess she didn't yell at
she
you.
Was. She was yelling at me, but with my back turned. Yes.
One thing I want to put out there real quick is that on the 15th of every month, not the 15th. We decided third Monday of every month, I'll be participating in the anti-racism book club with local Baltimore run through local Baltimore group Motorhouse, which is an arts venue and collective. And we're starting July with White Fragility.
Mm.
So,
yes. Which is actually also currently available on Audible.
Yes.
Right on their front page.
And that's how I'm doing it. I'm listening to it. So, you know, get out there. As I said before, do the work.
Yep. The last thing I want to say, too, is, and this is not something that you know, and I'm going to surprise you with this right now. We will begin in the end of July or August streaming our podcast live to Twitch.
Awesome.
So as we so I want to keep people keep in mind that you know, there's going to be the opportunity. Not only will we be recording it and putting it where podcasts are listened to, but also we'll be streaming it online and giving people the opportunity, obviously, to come on in and ask questions or just listen to us. I'm putting together some of the technology now. Like, I've been trying some things and it's working really well. Cool. So I'd like to give us a hard date to say, like, maybe the end of July, beginning of August.
Okay.
We'll be doing so. That means that we can we'll be establishing consistency in finding a specific time of the week to do this.
Cool.
That we can do that, record at the same time and have it out. So that way people can begin coming in, asking questions. We can even begin doing things like screen sharing and stuff. So when we find a book by an author we feel like we really want to share, I can actually screen share it right there.
Nice. Cool.
And there's nothing you have to do on your end. I've got that all taken care of.
Oh man, thanks. Cause so, I feel like I do a lot on my end. That's also,
Oh, eat my ass.
Also, another really quick thing that I'm dropping in here. We may be coming out with some different content than the Quarantine Book Club, but under the Quarantine Book Club banner, looking at expanding out into the world of podcasts, maybe networking. So keep an eye out because things are advancing forward and changing a little bit, and we're doing what we can. Sorry, I'm pulling up my normal stuff, which is, of course, okay, make sure you follow us on Instagram at the Quarantine Book Club Podcast. You'd think I'd know what that is by now, like what my actual Instagram handle is. That cat is licking itself in the background. Cool. So at the Quarantine Book Club Podcast on Instagram, we have a group on Facebook. Just it's public. You can just join it. I don't think I have to invite you. Check out our website. Give Larry Correa the finger.
If you know Larry Correa, tell him that I want to fight him.
Oh, I'm going to put this up there, man. Check us out on YouTube also. Like it, subscribe it, do those dumb things that you're doing. Larry Correa, I want to see you fight my brother.
Here's the promise I give. I know Larry Correa this is like the equivalent of a duel, right? Only we can't, you know, obviously fight each other to the death. Larry, if you fight me, I will not take back the things I've said because I stand by all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I will at least apologize. If you win, I'll apologize to you for wasting your time.
Okay.
That's the best I can do. I'm not taking back anything I've said, right? I will take the shame of having my ass beat by Larry Correa. But that's it. Hey, that's it. You know, that's it.
It's what it is, man.
I wear bruises. I don't care.
Cool. Hey, you know what?
Fight me.
Next week.
Fight me, Larry.
Next week we're
going
to.
Fight me.
Can I say a sentence? Can I say the sentence?
Yes, you can. Sorry.
Just join us next week. We'll talk more about this book and the one following it. We'll probably be really mad. Can't guarantee that we're going to make it through alive. I love you.
Love you.
See you next week.
Fight me.
No, I did not. I did not enjoy it. I did not enjoy it at all. It was very terrible. It was horrible. And I hate you. I hate you, Audible. I hate you.